Well, good morning and welcome on this wet day of celebration. Apparently the sun is going to shine at about 1 o'clock. We need to rejoice today as we're celebrating the Queen's 90th birthday. But I would just like to tell you all that yesterday we had a great day of celebration when John Drake, our curate, actually got married. And it was a fantastic day. And in your prayers today, just remember them and hope that their married life together will grow in love and grow in love for the Lord as well. And on the subject of marriage, I have two bands of marriage to call. Between Timothy David Creedon, single of this parish, and Anna Claire Dakin, single of the parish of Woolsey Extra Parochial Place. Now, that's very interesting, isn't it? Are you here, Anna?
No, they're coming next week.
Okay, she can explain then what that means. I think her father might be a bishop. And also between Thomas Luke Exelby, single of the parish of St. James Bramley, and Gemma Moore, single of the parish of St. James Bramley also. These are for the second time of asking. If you know any just cause why these persons may not be joined together in holy matrimony, you are to declare it now. So our first hymn was written many, many years ago, but the setting we have this morning was especially composed for the coronation of the Queen in 1953. Verse 3 of this hymn will be sung by the choir. We'll all sing the other four verses together. So will you stand, please, to sing "All People That on Earth Do Dwell"?
Thank you.
this morning our young people are going to do some very special activities over in Wargrave Court. And then they're going to come back later and show us what they have done. So if you're in year six or a lower year than that in school, if you'd like to leave now and go with Camilla and Leslie, and then when you come back, I think you'll have some special things to show us. And all the words of our service are printed on the order of service. You're lucky that you won't have to go out in the rain in the middle to continue. So we begin by greeting each other in the name of Christ. Welcome in the name of Christ. God's grace, mercy, and peace be with you.
And also with you.
We say together, we have come together in the name of Christ to celebrate the 90th birthday of Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth, to offer our praise and thanksgiving, to hear and receive God's holy word, to pray for the needs of the world, and to seek the forgiveness of our sins, that by the power of the Holy Spirit we may give ourselves to the service of God. And so we sit or kneel for our prayers. Let us return to the Lord our God and say to him, Father, we have sinned against heaven and against you. We are not worthy to be called your children. We turn to you again. Have mercy on us. Bring us back to yourself as those who once were dead, but now have life through Christ our Lord. Amen. May the Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and bring us to everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
And a special prayer for today. Almighty God, the fountain of all goodness, bless our Sovereign Lady, Queen Elizabeth, and all who are in authority under her, that they may order all things in wisdom and equity, righteousness and peace, to the honour of your name and the good of your church and people, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Amen. And so we stand to sing the hymn, I Vow to Thee, My Country.
Thank you.
And this part of the service is really quite informal. It may go on, and Jimmy has said to me, if he keeps going on, I have to tell him to... What do I need to do?
Shut up.
Right.
Sorry, I shouldn't say that.
No, Lord Remnant. So, when we came to put the parish magazine together, we found there were loads of people who had met the Queen, but no one more so than Jimmy. So we thought it would be quite interesting to hear some of his experiences. So, Jimmy, first of all, how many times have you met the Queen?
Well, I suppose I've, in the widest possible sense, been involved with her over a period of 60 years, and I suppose probably not more than about 10 times.
Oh, only 10?
Well, over 60 years, that doesn't add up to a lot, does it?
Well, the mathematicians amongst us would work that out, I'm sure. So, of all of these 10 occasions, just what were they?
Well, okay, they started off with the coronation, when I was high up in the stands. Those of us who are sufficiently not old but mature enough to remember that, the whole of the inside of Westminster Abbey was covered in stands, and I was sort of half left behind her, right up to the top. So I was lucky enough to see everything from a pretty good vantage point.
And then?
Well, then I was fairly involved in some leading charities. And I suppose 1977, being an accountant, I was treasurer of the Royal Jubilee Trust, which actually turned itself into the Prince's Trust. And, well, that was hard work, because we had to put together from scratch separate fundraising activities and the accounting therefrom in 45 different countries. So that was certainly the more memorable, although I suppose, and this is rather a selfish comment, because of the work that I did with Prince Charles over a period of 20 years, and I was meeting him on business for weekly, and I was lucky enough to be appointed commander of the Victorian Order, which is in the gift of the Queen. And when I appeared at the investiture, I don't know how she does this, but she'd been briefed as what I did, and she said, "Lord Remnant, what was the most difficult challenge?" And I said, "Well, ma'am, it was the enormous success." And she said, "Well done." Excellent. Oh, no, she did it.
And have there been any embarrassing moments?
Potentially. The first one was at the coronation. Oh, we do, as Brits, do these things so well. But there'd been I'd just come out of the Coldstream, and we practiced, rehearsed a couple of times, and there I was on duty from 7 o'clock onwards, and helping people to their seats. There was a particular lady who I helped to her seat, and I came back to my colleague and said, "You know, we've got a drunken peeress." And I don't know how to deal with this, so I called the police. And the most enormous traffic cop, his helmet under his arm, came and I told him, and he said, "Leave it to me, sir." And he went down to this lady, put his arms round her shoulders, and she thought that heaven had come. And he said to her, "M'lady, can we just go and talk about this outside?" And off he went. And that was it. And I suppose there was one other case which because I and a friend of mine had reunions after 50 years and 60 years of the people who did that job. We started off by 373 people. We ended up with 14 and added in some pages to the peers. But at this meeting at the House of Lords, I said to the banking manager, "You know, some of us are seriously old, and how about first aid?" "Don't you worry, my lord," he said. "I've got 4 police officers who are experts." "Fine." Anyhow, at the end of the dinner, the guests, 2 away from the Queen, were absolutely face down on the table. And the banking manager was marvellous. He appeared with a weight of pulled him out, his heels dragging, and he was put on the Queen's oxygen. Because, you know, those Land Rovers, they that follow her, they have everything from missiles to oxygen. And when I had the responsibility of saying farewell to the Queen, she said to me, "Lord Remnant, how is that chap?" "Oh," I said, "he's fine, ma'am. He went on to your oxygen." "Jolly lucky I didn't need it."
So how would you describe her personality?
Well, gracious beyond belief, hardworking, a very deep faith, and a deep pleasure in her people. My view is, and there's a sort of reference to it in one of the programs over the last in St. Paul's, that I think that about 10 years ago, she realized that we really loved her. And ever since then, she's been very relaxed. And she's actually great news. We're very lucky.
And so, finally, she's one of the richest women in the world. If you had to buy her a birthday present, what would it be?
Oh, that's a beastly question, isn't it? I think I would give her the wish from all of people in Wargrave and elsewhere that she would have many years ahead of her of enjoying her dogs and her horses, and above all, be able to enjoy the dramatic support that she receives from the Duke of Edinburgh.
Thank you very much, Lord Remnant. We've titled this service "The Servant Queen and the King She Serves," and we've put together a tribute to her, and I've got some people to help me with this tribute, if they'd like to come forward now. The Queen is a remarkable woman. She's the longest reigning monarch in British history. She never went to university, but she's been the advisor and confidant to 12 British prime ministers. She's a 90-year-old senior citizen, but still works over 40 hours a week. She employs 1,200 people, but feeds her own dogs. She is the most famous woman in the world, but she seems as relaxed in a school, a residential care home, or a technology company as in the company of celebrities or other heads of state. She is the supreme governor of the Church of England, attends church weekly, even on holiday, and prays daily, but never tells anyone to go to church. What is the secret of the Queen's remarkable consistency of character and extraordinary contribution to the nation, Commonwealth, and the global community? It's a question she answered herself in 2002.
"I know just how much I rely on my faith to guide me through the good times and the bad. Each day is a new beginning. I know that the only way to live my life is to try to do what is right, to take the long view, to give of my best in all that the day brings, and to put my trust in God. I draw strength from the message of hope in the Christian gospel."
The Queen is a woman who has looked in two directions for almost her entire life: upwards towards God and outwards towards her people. She said this in her 2008 Christmas broadcast.
"I hope that, like me, you will be comforted by the example of Jesus of Nazareth, who often in circumstances of great adversity managed to live an outgoing, unselfish and sacrificial life. Countless millions of people around the world continue to celebrate his birthday at Christmas, inspired by his teaching. He makes it clear that genuine human happiness and satisfaction lie more in giving than receiving, more in serving than in being served. We can surely be grateful that 2,000 years after the birth of Jesus, so many of us are able to draw inspiration from his life and message, and to find in him a source of strength and courage.
The Queen works hard because she is committed to service, and that comes from her commitment to follow the ways of Christ. At Christmas 2012, she said,
"This is the time of year when we remember that God sent his only Son to serve, not to be served. He restored love and service to the centre of our lives in the person of Jesus Christ. It is my prayer this Christmas day that his example and teaching will continue to bring people together to give the best of themselves in the service of others." The carol, In the Bleak Midwinter, ends by asking a question of all of us who know the Christmas story, of how God gave himself to us in humble service. What can I give him, poor as I am? If I were a shepherd, I would bring a lamb. If I were a wise man, I would do my part. The carol gives the answer. Yet what can I give him? Give my heart.
The Queen's inspiration for her view of her own work and others springs from Christ's own example of humble and sacrificial service. In 1986, she said,
"Jesus's life thus began in humble surroundings, in fact, in a stable. But he was to have a profound influence on the course of history and on the lives of generations of his followers. You don't have to be rich or powerful in order to change things for the better. And each one of us, in our own way, can make a contribution."
The Queen did not choose her work, she inherited it. But she has chosen to do her work in a generous-hearted way, and has clearly found joy in serving, in following the example of the Son of God, the King who rules the universe, and yet was prepared to serve others and give his life that others might live. Her trust in Jesus Christ is central to her. She doesn't have to go to church every week, but she does. And she doesn't actually have to mention Jesus in her Christmas addresses to the nation and the Commonwealth. It would be easy to reduce the birth of the incarnate Son of God to a gift-giving festival. But every year she mentions Jesus Christ, and always at the climax of her broadcast. In 2014, focusing on the source and inspiration for forgiveness, she said,
"For me, the life of Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, whose birth we celebrate today, is an inspiration and an anchor in my life. A role model of reconciliation and forgiveness, he stretched out his hands in love, acceptance and healing. Christ's example has taught me to seek to respect and value all people of whatever faith or none."
In a secular age, it's perhaps surprising to hear a leading international figure who isn't a member of the clergy talk of prayer in the middle of a major public speech. In 2013, she put it this way:
"For Christians, as for all people of faith, reflection, meditation, and prayer help us to renew ourselves in God's love as we strive daily to become better people. The Christmas message shows us that this love is for everyone. There is no one beyond its reach. Despite being displaced and persecuted throughout his short life, Christ's unchanging message was not one of revenge or violence, but simply that we should love one another.
And so with this message of love, which Jesus gave us, and which the Queen has tried to honour, may I, on behalf of us all, offer a prayer for her. Heavenly Father, as we celebrate the 90th birthday of Her Majesty the Queen, receive our heartfelt thanks for all that you have given her in those 90 years, and for all that she has given to her people. Continue, we pray, your loving purposes in her. And as you gather us together in celebration, unite us also in love and service to one another. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And so, following this theme of servantship, we sing our next hymn, Brother, Let Me Be Your Servant.
Bible reading.
The Bible reading is from Mark chapter 10, verses 35 to 45. Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him. Teacher, they said, we want you to do for us whatever we ask. What do you want me to do for you? He asked. They replied, let one of us sit at your right and the other at your left in your glory. You don't know what you're asking, Jesus said. Can you drink the cup I drink, or be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with? We can, they answered. Jesus said to them, "You will drink the cup I drink and be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with. But to sit at my right or left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared." When the 10 heard of this, they became indignant with James and John. Jesus called them together and said, "You know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be slave to all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as ransom for many."
Thank you, Michael, very much. Well, before we look at God's word together, let's pray together. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, who has so made us, we don't live by bread alone, but by every word of yours. Cause us to find in it the way to eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, Her Majesty the Queen was crowned Queen in Westminster Abbey on June 2nd, 1953. At that service, she was presented with a Bible and was told, as her predecessors had been told in previous coronations since 1689, these things about the Bible: "We present you with this book, the most valuable thing that this world affords. Here is wisdom. This is a royal law. These are the lively oracles of God." And Her Majesty the Queen has tried in Christ's strength to follow the teaching of the Lord in the Scriptures. Well, in her 90 years, the world has changed. Television has become the dominant medium, but that may be changing. Man has gone into space and walked on the moon. The Union Jack has flown in space. The Berlin Wall was built and broken down. Global travel has become available to us all. And now we have the wide world web. Today, she has over 600 patronages of organizations and charities. She is head of state, the fount of justice, head of the armed forces, the defender of the faith, and supreme governor of the Church of England. And whatever our political views, as part of a nation which is a constitutional monarchy and belongs to a Commonwealth of Nations, we esteem and admire her dogged work, her commitment and loyalty to her high role, and her part in the life of a nation. And later on, we'll enjoy the birthday celebrations with millions of others as we gather in sun or rain to eat good food and drink wine and talk together. And the tributes remind us, haven't they, of just how much the Queen has done and how much her faith means to her. At her coronation, the Queen was given an orb with more than 600 jewels and pearls, with a cross mounted on top to symbolise the rule of Christ Jesus over the earth. And this symbol of power put into her hand indicated that she is a servant of a greater king, Christ, represented by the cross which sits above that orb or globe. When the father was feeling deeply concerned and weighed down, In 1939, aged just 13, Her Majesty and her family were living in Buckingham Palace, and she presented her father with a poem by Minnie Louise Haskins. It said this: "I said to the man who stood at the gate of a year, give me a light that I may tread safely into the unknown. And he replied, go out into the darkness and put your hand into the hand of God. That shall be to you better than light and safer than a known way." That early commitment of Her Majesty to the Lord has continued and grown and deepened. And today we give thanks for the servant queen, but recall as well that she is also serving a greater king, the Lord Jesus. Every day the queen receives at Buckingham Palace the red boxes from across in Downing Street, things to read, keep up on what's going on. She's met, as we mentioned already, every week with the prime ministers, for 11 years with Margaret Thatcher and a good number of years with Tony Blair, but still this goes on. Have you thought about that? We know nothing about what she thinks about the different prime ministers. And yet she's very open about what she believes about the centrality of Jesus Christ in her life. And it's shown not just in her words, like the Christmas broadcasts, but also her priorities in her daily tasks. She's a follower of Jesus Christ. I hope many of us are as well. She listens carefully to what he said and follows that in her life. And discipleship for all of us is cruciform in shape. And for us, as for her, as Christian believers, we're called first not to a life of self-centeredness, but self-giving. Listen again to those words we had in our reading. "Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him. Teacher, they said, we want you to do for us whatever we ask. What do you want me to do for you? He asked. They replied, let one of us sit at your right hand and the other at your left in your glory. That is the worst prayer ever prayed. It deserves to be entered as that in the Guinness Book of Records. What they're saying, a bit like perhaps you did when you were 10 or 11-year-old, you'd say to your friend at school, bag me a seat, save me a special place. And actually the world expects that. And people so often claw after a gong, or they claw after a knighthood or a peerage. Let's be honest about ourselves. There's been something quite attractive about having our backs patted, or needing to have to pull out our pen to sign autographs. We quite like the idea of that, don't we, in our more honest moments? The prophet Jeremiah said in chapter 45, should you seek great things for yourself, seek them not. We're called to deny self, as Her Majesty has. I was in Cambridge yesterday for John Drake's wedding. Didn't have time to do this, but if you go to Trinity College, Cambridge, there's a marvellous Wren library. And the story is told about a man who fled Nazi Germany who came to work in that library during the war and continued afterwards. His grasp of English wasn't very good, but he used to help the undergraduates find some vital paper or book and provide it for them, for their research. And that man, as recorded, had a lovely phrase. He used to say to the undergraduates, "Dispose of me as you want." That is, I'm here to serve you. Dispose of me as you wish. And that's what Her Majesty's done with her life. A life not of self-centeredness, but self-giving. As we heard in the tributes, she's normally worked at least 50 hours a week, and certainly till very recently, that's continued, but it's dropped a bit. As a Christian believer, our lives are not lives of self-centeredness, but self-giving. Second, as Christian believers, as in Her Majesty's life, our lives are called not to be a life of power and status, but lowly service. Let one of us sit at your right hand and the other at your left in your glory. In your glory. The New English Bible translates that to sit in state with you. Well, Her Majesty's life has been one of humble service, not lording it over others. I had somebody in our home, and the remnants are there, who's right at the centre of the chapel at Windsor and the castle's life. And it just came out in conversation. This distinguished man said, "Strangely, every now and then at the weekend, you can see Her Majesty cooking supper, because there's one small window where you can see her preparing a simple evening meal. You might not expect that, but isn't that a glorious thing? But Her Majesty prepares a simple supper for her and her husband. Humble service. A life not of power and status, but lowly service. And third, not a life as a Christian believer of comfort and security, but sacrifice and suffering. James and John say, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask. Let one of us sit at your right hand, the other at your left in glory." You can picture it, can't you? Think, let us be right at the centre with gold goblets of glorious wine. But what does Jesus say? "You don't know what you're asking. Can you drink the cup I drink or be baptised with the baptism I'm baptised with?" "We can," they answered. Jesus said to them, "You will drink the cup I drink and be baptized with baptism I am baptized with. But to sit at my right or left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they've been prepared." That's what James and John had to learn. James was beheaded for his Christian faith. John was sent into lonely exile. And Jesus' own life, well, he said, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." The Son of Man, Jesus, led an absolutely regal life. He committed no sin and revealed no selfishness. He went to die on a cross. And there he took on himself all the sin and rebellion of his citizens as he died. That's us, in our place. He took the hell which would be otherwise ours. It was the ultimate act of sacrifice which he made because he loves us so much. I've never met Her Majesty the Queen, but Jesus died that we might come to know him in a personal way. And as king, even over death, Jesus rose again, defeating the grave. And today, as the Queen knows, and this is what directs her life, Jesus is the exalted King, and he'll return as Lord and Judge and King. "I am the Christ," he said, "and you'll see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the Mighty One and coming on the clouds of heaven." As we heard earlier, Her Majesty looks in two directions. I wonder, do we? Upwards towards King Jesus and outwards to others. She relies on him. 1947, April 21st, she said this publicly, "I declare before you all that my whole life, whether it be long or short, shall be devoted to your service. God help me to make good my vow." Well, Tommy Cooper, those of us who are a bit older, remember Tommy Cooper? Well, I was only 3 when he performed at the Royal Variety Performance at London Palladium. Well, it's 1964. And after the show, the Queen was introduced to the stars of the show. And the uninhibited and fez-wearing comedian, Tommy Cooper, asks her if she minds answering a personal question. Not the normal protocol with the Queen. She replied, "No, but I might not be able to give you all of the answer." Cooper said, "Do you like football?" "Well, not really," the Queen replies. He then said, "In that case, do you mind if I have your cup final tickets?" Well, Her Majesty may not enjoy football, but with a 10K marathon in Wargrave happening at the same time as this service this morning, are you aware she loves marathons? Doesn't run them herself, but loves seeing them take place. And that reminds me that Her Majesty's life has been a lifetime marathon as she continues as a follower of Jesus Christ. Not a life of self-centeredness, but self-giving. Not a life of power and status, but lowly service. Not a life of comfort and security, but sacrifice and suffering. Amen.
And so we stand to sing our next hymn, "In Christ Alone."
sit or kneel for the prayers. Let us pray for the Queen and all our leaders. Father God, we give you thanks for the servant heart of our Queen. We thank you for the example she has set in godly humility and reliance on you in good times and bad. We pray that you would strengthen her, give her joy, and be her strength as she runs her race faithfully to the end. We pray for all our leaders that they will seek you and look to you for wisdom as they carry the weight of their responsibilities. We pray they would be motivated by a desire to work for the good of others and that their decisions would honor you. Amen. Let us pray for the needy in our community. Lord, you are a God who sees and cares for the lost, the lonely, the broken, and the hopeless. You know the needs of the people of our community, the obvious needs and those that are hidden. We pray that your presence would comfort those who are suffering. In a moment of silence, we bring before you those known to us who have particular struggles, and we ask you to draw near to them even now. Amen. And we now say prayers for ourselves. Almighty God, we are your hands and feet on this earth. Forgive us for the times we have turned away from those we could have helped in your name. Forgive us for our cold hearts and our selfish ways. Help us to use our time, our resources, and our energy to serve those in need. Give us compassion, kindness, and the willingness to sacrifice in order to show your love to the world. Amen. Let us now join together to say the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Our final hymn is Lord for the Years. During this hymn, our collection will be taken.
Thank you.
young people to come to the front now just to show us what they've made while we've been in church. I can see some fabulous crowns. Absolutely fabulous crowns. If you want to come and stand and face the congregation here. Oh, and flags as well. Come and stand up here. That's it. And face everybody else. Should we give them all a clap for doing so well? So, in a few moments, we're all going to go onto the green and have a picnic. If anyone hasn't got a ticket or whatever, we'll find a place for you somehow. God will provide. And so, we're going to have our blessing, and then we're going to sing the national anthem. And when we sing the national anthem, maybe you can hold your flags up as well. Now, what do your flags celebrate?
The Queen.
The Queen. And who's the King on your flag? Jesus. So first of all, we'll say a prayer and ask God and Jesus to bless us, and then we'll sing the national anthem for the Queen. So the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you all forevermore. Amen. God save.